And now our resident Vatican expert Joan Lewis is back to tell us about Pope Benedict's activities over the past week. Joan, welcome back after your holidays. It's lovely to have you here with us again.
It's good to be back in this city, which is so devoid of people and
it's easy quite deserted, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's wonderful. It's quiet. It's peaceful.
And of course, Pope Benedict is away from the Vatican. He's at his residence in Castel Gandolfo, but he hasn't quite given up all his engagements, has he? We've heard him both at the Angelus and the audience this past week.
No, the traditional ones, as you said, of the Angelus and the weekly audience, he does obviously hold those even in the summer when he is away. And even when he was in Bressanone, of course, he didn't have a weekly audience, but he certainly did the Angelus. But last Sunday was, he had really a lot to say about various topics at the Angelus, both before saying the prayer and afterwards. The first part of his remarks before the Angelus were actually dedicated to the gospel of the day, the story of the Canaanite woman, a foreigner to the Jews, whose great faith Jesus praised. And he said, of course, this shows us the universality of the church and of the mission of the church comprising every race and culture. And then he segued into remarks on racism. And he said, the church must be a hospitable home for all. And he said, this is important because we can help civil society overcome every possible temptation to racism, intolerance, exclusion, and society can form itself through choices that respect human dignity.
This, of course, is a very hot issue here in Italy at the moment, isn't
it? It's a very hot issue in Italy. And the Pope, he didn't mention any country by name, but he did say, unfortunately, there are new and worrisome signs of racism in several countries, often linked to social and economic problems. But he really stressed that those problems never justify racial discrimination. And, it is a big political issue. I mean, we could probably certainly get into, dedicate the whole show to what's been happening and been written and been said here. So the Pope is making that very general statement, because once you do insert yourself specifically into a country's politics or something else, and a Pope will never do that. These are, you know.
These are broad guidelines, broad recommendations.
Absolutely, broad guidelines for everybody. And you don't have to be from a certain country or background or culture to respect these guidelines, starting with, obviously, the respect for human dignity. But to turn to another topic then, which the Pope touched on before praying the Angelus, he asked the faithful gathered, listening to him actually, but also gathered in Castel Gandolfo, he said, to pray for the many and serious traffic accidents, and especially at this time of year, obviously more people traveling, more people on vacation. And he said, we must not become accustomed to these sad realities. Human life is too precious for man to die or become an invalid for mainly avoidable causes such as excessive speed or imprudent judgment.
And this appeal came in the wake of a terrible traffic accident in the north of Italy, a lorry going across a main motorway, killing, I believe it was 8 or 9 people at least.
A huge number of people. And of course, there's so much, so many young people have been killed in road accidents after a Saturday night out in the town and so forth. But the Pope said, this prudent judgment in driving, it calls for a moral and civic sense and a greater sense of responsibility. You know, we're not the only ones on the road. We have people to our side, front of us, back of us. So in driving a car, we have to think of others and have the sense of responsibility. And then after praying the Angelus, the Pope talked about two other topics. He mentioned, of course, he asked for the opening of humanitarian corridors between Georgia and South Ossetia, saying that he felt very close to the victims of the conflict. He obviously had expressed condolences for the victims. He urged people to help alleviate the suffering, and he in particular obviously urged the international community to get involved and work on this opening of humanitarian corridors.
And this wasn't the first time we'd heard him voice his concern about the situation there in Georgia.
No, you heard him if it wasn't hours, it certainly was days after
the beginning of the conflict.
Exactly, because I think he was still even in Bressanone when this all occurred, and he made an appeal at that Angelus. And then, talking about Bressanone, something was so sad, and the Pope spoke about it again at the Sunday Angelus, and you could hear the sadness in his voice. The Bishop Wilhelm Eger of Bolzano Bressanone, who had been the Pope's host for a couple of weeks, where the Pope stayed at the seminary in Bressanone, also known as Brixen, obviously in its German name, and the German language is the dominant language in that region. But the bishop died suddenly of a heart attack Saturday night. And so the Pope obviously made mention of this Sunday at the Angelus, and he says, like, who would have guessed? He said, I just left him several days ago. He was obviously in apparent good health. And if you go online and you see some of the pictures of the bishop, you know, this, he was only 68, and he has a twin brother who's a who is also a priest. But to look at him, he just looked so joyful and so full of life, and obviously enjoying being in the presence of the Holy Father. So his funeral Thursday of course this week. And so anyway, very big day at Casa Gandolfo at the Angelus, all these different messages coming out, and food for reflection. And as actually was the Wednesday audience, he talked about saints, how saints can, how we should, especially in a quiet time of vacation, turn to the liturgy of the day, looking at who the saint might be that we are commemorating on a certain day, and looking to saints and blesseds as people that we can imitate.
This, of course, is continuing a theme that he has been developing, hasn't he, over the past week or two?
Certainly at the audience, pointing out a number of very saintly figures, saints and blesseds. And so he named a number of saints being celebrated this week, and of course Friday this week, the queenship of Mary and so forth. But what the Holy Father basically was saying, that the people whom we call saints and blesseds today, they weren't born that way. They became saints, and we too, living our very normal lives, can become saints. And he said there's many saints whose names are known only to God. They lived a very normal life. We may not have seen them achieve the canonization public ceremony naming so-and-so as a saint, but there are many, and I'm sure you and I and our listeners can all name a few of those known to us and to God. So
the Pope's activities, as we said, are quite limited to these two main events this week. But there was another interesting piece of news that came out, a new commandant, a new leader for the Swiss Guards this week.
Exactly. And what was very interesting is that he was named Daniel Rudolf Amrig of the canton of Glarus in Switzerland. I had studied there and knew that there were 26 cantons. I couldn't remember all of the names, so I did go to Switzerland and seek out the names in the regional language. He was appointed commandante. He will be coming in December, I believe it is, and he's replacing Commander Elmar Mader, who was appointed 5 years ago. And the interesting thing about the new commander, he is, he's 36, he's married and the father of four children, as is the current commander. He was in the Swiss Guards here in Vatican City from 1992 to 94. He has a background of law degrees, of civil and canon law. He worked in various offices in his own country, but especially connected with the military, with the police services. So presence will be, there will be many here who will remember him, and perhaps some of his comrades who are still in the Swiss Guards, because you know you can serve for a maximum of 20 years, two-year terms, renewable up to 20 years. So a very young man entrusted with enormous duties, but if you look at his background, he certainly is up to the job.
Thanks there to Joan Lewis, who'll be back again at this same time next week with another edition of Joan Knows.